This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
I'm Chris Palmer.
And I'm Mike Beats.
And our topic tonight is going to be public forum. A lot of people know that lately there has been some controversy about public forum, and we might get to that or we might not. We probably will. But, I mean, the whole subject of public forum, just 2 seconds ago before we started recording, we started comparing notes on our own approaches to public forum, and we have four radically different approaches on our teams. So, John, I mean, why don't we start with you, because you have numbers, right? I mean, you have Bronx has a big public forum team.
Well, I guess there are a couple of things to say about that. The way that the Bronx Science Public Forum Squad works, we have a very, very large team overall. We have about 200 kids who are involved with speech and debate in one way or the other at Bronx Science. And the way public forum started at Bronx Science is kind of interesting. When I first took the reins of the team, I didn't really know what I felt about PF. I thought that it wasn't real debate. I thought it was something that sort of smacked of lack of preparation, et cetera. Some of that, I think, was a reality of the way that public forum is perhaps treated in our general area. It's oftentimes as sort of guest debaters, as it were, you know, like people who don't compete on a regular basis, trying to compete and do so without doing a lot of work. But that sort of evolved over time. And actually, the main thing that drew me to PF debate was a way of keeping a colleague of mine, Joe Gazzola, involved in the team. Joe did not have a big background in debate. Actually, he didn't really have any high school background in debate. He didn't compete as a debater in high school. And before I came to Bronx Science, he, like we call him the Gerald Ford of our team, because he sort of inherited an ugly situation and became the director of the program sort of by happenstance. And what we discovered was that public forum debate in a lot of ways was a great way of keeping somebody who liked the debate atmosphere but perhaps felt a little either out of place or a little uncomfortable by the boundaries that had already been developed in LDN policy to find a way to discover debate for himself. So that was how public forum got started in our team. And over time, along with I think the evolution of the activity, our public forum squad has become very, very organized. I mean, we have kids who had former backgrounds in policy and LD get involved, sort of take work assignments seriously. We've had teams that had a lot of success, people who won the Glenbrooks, run finals of other big tournaments. And next year, we're actually going to do something a little different on our team where previously you had to either do LD or policy as a novice and then you could choose to do public forum. But after some serious thought of how we would do this, we've decided that next year novices can do any one of the three debate events. So public forum evolved in an unusual way on our team.
I think your ontogeny just recapitulated phylogeny or vice versa, whichever it is, because that sounded like, I mean, the history of public, I mean, when did public forum start? I mean, what year did this thing kick in?
2002.
Really?
It was when there was still controversy debate.
That's right. That recently, 2002.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. It was begun as a national event. And the first time we heard of it was at NFL Districts when it was offered all of a sudden out of the blue. Mm-hmm.
And it was quite necessary. I always tell the kids,
that I'm so old that I predate public forum debate. That makes me feel weird. But anyway.
Okay. So this is an 8-year-old activity. That's not a lot of debate years, to put it mildly. I mean, it's true.
Well, so when this especially thing, because the first couple of years, no one really did it per se.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of in the beginning, it was you did it when you weren't doing LD. There was no natural funneling in of debaters straight into public forum. I mean, they just, you know, it was like, okay, I can only take 4 LDers to this tournament, but I could take some more people if you did public forum, or we were doubling up at, you know, the district tournament. I remember qualifying some people. I remember like Justin Becker and Aaron Vestep back in the
that
day.
Round.
You know,
that was the most epic public forum round ever.
That can't possibly be. There's no such thing. Well, but I mean, people just sort of fell into it.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. I heard some sneering going on there, but I guess we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I mean, there was this thing at the beginning. I mean, first of all, We didn't know a lot about it, and it kept changing its name. So what happened? So it started out as controversy, and then Ted Turner came in after
that?
Yeah,
it was named Ted Turner, but I gather without necessarily involving Ted Turner in that decision or something.
Well, he had endowed it, or had endowed, sent some money.
I think he endowed it at the national tournament. Because at the national tournament, events have slightly different names, like...
Patrick Henry Oratory.
Right, exactly.
Patrick Henry gave money?
Oh, I know. We'll get to that later, won't we?
There's a long history here I wasn't aware of.
Okay. Yeah, and I think he intended to endow it at the national tournament, and they ended up naming the whole event after him. And he kind of said, guys, that's kind of tacky, and then they renamed it Public Forum.
But there was also a crossfire at some point.
I
don't know that it was ever formally called that. I think that they actually did pitch that as a name, though.
I
remember these really early articles from Jim Copeland and Chad Henson arguing with each other about the events, and I thought that was bizarre enough for me.
I remember.
So did Kate Schuster. She argued a long time.
That's right.
Because she wanted it to be. She thought that the NFL should adopt parliamentary debates.
But there was the paradigm that was written down on their initial instructions, and I remember this, very much related it to the Crossfire TV show where two people would sit there and sort of yell at each other mindlessly, but your judging paradigm was predicated on the person you believed the most, who put on the best sincere act. Essentially, and you were actually asked to compare them to a news broadcaster. And if this were a news broadcast, who would you believe the most? I mean, it wasn't exactly like that, but that was pretty close to what they were telling you to do.
And in fact, I believe that the original idea was that you would be seated around it, perhaps in a sort of circular way. I remember that's how the national tournaments at least looked in the beginning, right? I mean, the people weren't standing in the early debates. So.
I think, I mean, a lot of places we don't stand them up still. I mean, when I was watching at districts just 2 weeks ago, they were sitting down, they spoke standing up. So come to think of it, they did. But I've watched rounds where people sat down for the whole thing. So,
and oftentimes they'll sit down for the cross X or crossfire or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Especially for the last one where it's the four-way free-for-all.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, in the very beginning, we have people just sort of stumbling into this activity. And I think I've read somewhere, and I think this is, I don't know who said this, but I think it's absolutely true. In the very beginning, we all come to this with the history of LD and so forth that we're bringing to it. But at some point, and so people that participated in it were, you know, people who fell out of LD or didn't want to do LD or whatever. Then all of a sudden, there was a new batch of kids who had no history with it whatsoever. So for them, it's simply another activity. And obviously you've come to that, John, at the Bronx, where it's now just simply another activity and you start here. I mean, because let's face it, I mean, preparing in some other debate to be a public forum debater, I mean, objectively, doesn't make a lot of sense because, I mean, I'm not going to start in policy so I can get prepared for PF.
I don't know that I totally agree with that. I mean, this is actually one of the
points. I mean, you could, but I mean...
I feel that there's some strength to, and you know, this used to be back in the day, this was how a lot of LD squads were too. The idea was that you would get sort of a more technical foundation for how argumentation works that you wouldn't necessarily get from PF, and then you would come with an advantage into PF. Now, for a couple of reasons, my thoughts changed on this, especially as public forum debate, for better or for worse, takes on more structure that sort of resembles other debate formats as we know it, if that makes any sense. And so my thoughts on that have changed. Also, I was really fearful that somehow novices would get the sense that public forum debate, quote unquote, requires a lot less work and therefore will run away from Lincoln-Douglas debate and even more dramatically from policy debate, since that would be a competing two-on-two format. But for a variety of reasons, I'm happy to get into those later if needed. My thoughts on that have changed. So I think that now it does make sense that you could start with public forum and go from there.
I mean, I think that, I mean, the idea that it doesn't take a lot of work has gone away pretty quickly because all right, you have a team, you have 200 people. I have 200 people practically in my school. Okay, so I don't have like that big a team. And, so I don't have any way, shape, or form anybody really dedicated to public forum, but occasionally I do have dilettantes, PF dilettantes, and they go into the activity. They don't particularly prepare well, and they crash and burn really fast. So I think there's a self instructing aspect to this. People who think they can get away with, I mean, I have some LDers actually who have gone into it and done a lot of work and done fine. So I'm not saying that everybody who does it has that attitude, but I've had a couple of people, they, you know, I never see them, and then all of a sudden they're at a tournament doing PF and they're doing lousy. Because they haven't worked with me, they haven't worked with the team, they haven't done much of anything. My point being that, the perception that it's easy goes away in the forge of actually doing it, because if somebody did a lot of work and you didn't, you lose.
That's true.
Well, that said, though, the other skills from other avenues of forensics do very much cross-apply.
Sure.
We've had a number of times we've slapped together teams of a couple of experienced extempers, and they tend to clean up. They do very, very well.
But do they prepare, or do they go in writing their cases on the bus?
Well, an extemp, it's sort of yes and no. I mean, they've prepared in the sense that they've done extemp for 3 years.
And okay, so they have the
talk about most topics.
They know the topics
off the tops of their heads and be fairly educated about it.
Yeah, I mean, so they have that. I mean, they have that research.
You know,
they have that research there already. You know, whereas my LDers
They may have done the research months ago and not really for that particular case. And so they think they haven't prepared. And they have, but only in the general sense, not in the specific sense.
See, the LDers know how to argue better, I think. I mean, because they're in the active, you know, debate forum. So they know how to, you know, what to pick and choose perhaps better than, you know, than the other kind of kid. But on the other hand, you know, when you don't really know the subject, which I think the extempers will know the subject, and the LDers aren't necessarily going to. You know, knowing the subject probably trumps being able to debate.
Right. And extempers in particular tend to know, they understand how to work with those judges better. So the arguments they're likely to choose are probably more accessible to a PF judge, because the normal extemp judge is somebody whose kid does DI, and they got stuck judging extemp, and most of them don't like it, and most of them are not terribly informed. So extempers are really familiar with that level of argumentation and how to reach a judge like that.
Yeah, I just want to, before we go more into this, Mike, you had said that you woke up this morning firmly committed to turn your entire team over into public forum, right?
Well, given that I have a small school with...
We should know that was sarcastic. But
yeah. I have a Harvard Westlake is, I guess, a relatively small school, and the kids are extremely busy, and they don't even have lunch period at our school. And so I would fear that if I offered public forum as an event, it would become the main event. Because it would be the path of least resistance, where you can get all the accolades that are attributed to policy and Lincoln Douglas debate, and you can get, you know, travel to the Tournament of Champions, and you can travel to the Glen Brooks and to Harvard and to Berkeley and all those things. And I guess, and this is not to take away from anyone that does public forum debate, in my mind, I would, as a coach, I wouldn't feel as challenged as a coach to, not that coaching public forum isn't as challenging, it just isn't my what I would enjoy doing, I don't think. So, you know, I think that more kids would say, well, why can't we go to Harvard in public forum instead of LD? And why can't we go to the TOC in public forum instead of LD? And it just wouldn't be for me, I guess. So I don't think I foresee in a situation in which I would have public forum, at least not in a way that we would offer it as for the same level of travel as I would for our Lincoln Douglas team. I guess I would always put my Lincoln Douglas team as sort of for the kids that really want to commit to debate. Maybe I would have public forum and offer it for kids that want to just stay local and go to local tournaments, and maybe try to go to state or something like that. But I think that it would probably lead to, given the size of my team, as being a relatively small team, to cause the LD team to disappear.
Yeah, I mean, there's a logic to that. I mean, it's not so much a comment on public forum as a comment on how much one coach can do You have limited resources and limited amount of time to spend and some expertise in one thing. You end up spreading yourself thin. I mean, one of the things I'd love to have extemp at our school, but I mean, I just would be spreading myself too thin to try to do it. I'd have to figure it out first and learn it and then get all up in it. And, you know, just we don't have the numbers, you know, so you're just diluting what you have. I think it is better to concentrate on what you know to some extent. You know, I think it's better for the kids because then they're getting the best of you as the coach rather than you just going with, you know, whatever happens to be the fashion at the time.
And that very sort of compromise is actually why we do public forum at my program. It's sort of a odd situation because in Massachusetts, all of our tournaments are either speech-only tournaments or debate-only tournaments historically. And so most programs tend to be speech-only or debate-only programs as a result. And what we did a couple of years ago is we started offering public forum at both the speech-only and the debate-only events. And it took off wildly in the speech-only tournaments. We routinely have divisions of 40, 50, sometimes 60 teams.
Yeah, your numbers in Massachusetts, and it's entirely Massachusetts, right, are extraordinary, especially compared to the New York. I mean, I'll assume, let's say you have the same number of schools that we have.
We have about 30 regularly active schools and maybe about 60 who show up every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and let's say we try to have public forum at our Metro Hudson League. It's about once a month. And most of the time we don't have the numbers to even hold that division. And that's, we're talking now, 200-mile radius, you know, in New York, with excluding Manhattan. Okay, so in Manhattan, we have a couple of schools that do public forum. Of course, John, I mean, you're in the Bronx, and you do public forum. But, you know, above the Bronx, I mean, there's like the line of demarcation, and it just falls off. You know, we have no school that I can think of that seriously dedicates much time to public forum in New York.
Well, the difference is because these are schools which previously only had speech programs. And so what public forum at our speech tournaments does is give kids who were of a debatey mentality on a speech-only program the opportunity to debate. So they're not leaving LD and policy to do public forum. They're leaving Congress or even oratory to do public forum.
And I mean, I think that's part of the original intent of the activity, right? Because when you go back to '02, and this you're talking about why they're doing public forum, a large part of it, I mean, there's some discussion of attracting outside attention to debate, not scaring them away from LD and policy and blah, 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 from you know, because of LD policy. But there's also a lot of discussion about making it accessible for programs that don't currently feature debate.
Yeah. And I think it's actually funny because what made it accessible for us was not the nature of the event itself. It was simply the logistics of having it at the tournaments we were going to anyway. I don't think that if we had offered LD instead of PF, it wouldn't have taken off the same way. Policy maybe, but because policy's barriers to entry are considerably higher. But it wasn't so much the format of public forum that made it non-intimidating. It was simply that it was there. And we didn't have to split our squad and get another bus and whatnot. So when we talked about it, a couple of years ago. I mean, I come from a debate background. I was originally an LDR back in the day. And we talked about doing it because we've had a competitive extemp program for years, that this would be a good way to get involved in something without adding to the burden of being a head coach and being logistically responsible for getting kids to tournaments and finding them rounds. I would personally prefer to be doing LD. And I have a number of kids who would probably prefer to be doing LD, but it's simply not logistically feasible to do that and run a speech program in Massachusetts, given our resources. So we kind of view PF as the best we're going to get in a way. And that leads us to kind of be a little sour on its flaws and, you know, happy we can do debate without entirely having drunk the Kool-Aid and thinking it's the best thing ever. So that's kind of, I kind of sit between Beats and Cruz on this, in that I do see the value there and that is what my program does, but I'm not entirely convinced that it is worthwhile ultimately.
Well, that's the big question. I mean, that's probably the big question we should discuss is, is this a good activity? I mean, I personally, I've judged it a bit. I judged it at CatNats last year and a few other places. I tend to like it, but I find that it is unresolved in the debaters don't seem to know how to close the deal.
Well, let me say two things on that. I want to jump in and say two things. First off, I think that as with any developing activity, of course, it hasn't found itself. I mean, we wouldn't have Lincoln-Douglas debate today if people in the 80s hadn't decided that it was worth, you know, developing, if that makes sense. I mean, if you watch early, you know, I think there's a misconception about 80s LD, and I said this in multiple places, and I think it's worth mentioning here. There's this belief that all Lincoln-Douglas debate in the beginning was like this super slow thing where people were just reading really general philosophy and not being topic specific. But that's not actually really true. If you look at old rounds or old cases, there seems to be a weird mishmash of everything going on in early LD where people are trying to figure the activity out, if that makes any sense. I think that public forum debate is very similar. You see teams that are like super, super oratorical news broadcaster types versus teams that have evidence that frankly doesn't look all that – I mean, maybe it's different in presentation in the way it's cut from policy or LD, but in terms of the formatting on a piece of paper, it looks strikingly similar to other debate events. So I think that as with any new activity, it's going to take some time to find itself out. The other thing is that one place where I think public forum is a definite positive is this. And I'm going back to my Joe Gazzola example. You wouldn't have somebody like Joe Gazzola who wants to be in debate but doesn't necessarily feel invited into the previously established debate events in debate if it weren't for something like public forum debate. I really believe that. I mean, I become much more sensitive to that. And I
mean, that's only true to the extent that if public forum weren't there and he really wanted to get into debate, he could have learned more about one of the other two.
But that's easier said than done in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but if that's all there is, then that's what you do. I mean, if that's what you want. I mean,
at some point, I
mean, starting today, I mean.
Or you don't do debate.
Yeah, but if starting today, if you could make that same argument that, well, there's three activities, I can't get into them because they're all established, so we have to establish a new one. I know what you're saying insofar as it did enable him to get into this, but I don't think that's the greatest.
I don't know about that. I think that points to a separate issue. And my issue with public forum debate right now is this. The more it develops to resemble LD and policy, the more I question why we have three separate debate events. Because there's some fundamental differences between an LD and policy that just can't change. For example, I hate having a partner, I like having a partner. Even if LD were to just become a complete policy clone, there would still be that fundamental difference. And that is an important difference when push comes to shove. I think that there is a value to having a debate event that does focus on skills that perhaps LD and policy don't focus on. And I think if there ever came a point where people said, I don't feel comfortable in public forum debate, then we would really need to step back and question why we have three separate debate events to begin with.
Well, already, I think there are, I made a post a while back about how on, I don't know, my Twitter or something like that, about how I like to put, you know, I say that the parent judges that show up to the VBT, I get to put them in public forum. And someone commented, well, we want good judges too. And yeah. I mean, that
my kids do that.
Inevitably, if that's the mentality of the coaches of public forum, that they want expert judges in public forum, then why do we have public forum? Yeah. I mean, then if you're going to have flow judges who are expert, who have paradigms, who you know, have those sorts of, if it's going to become a specialized activity, then what was the purpose of creating public forum? I actually think that the NFL should have fought, if the goal was to make it, to maintain its integrity as a publicly accessible, TV-friendly activity, they should have fought really hard and discouraged the TOC, for example, for adding public forum as an event. And really should have tried to keep public forum as a lay event or whatever. And insofar as it becomes more expert, more specialized, it's going to go the way of Lincoln Douglas and policy debate. And then we're going to create something new, I guess. I think this is sort of an offshoot of that. I commented a while back about how shouldn't we create a new LD event, a one-on-one debate that would have very protectionist rules about who can judge and what the, like, that it can't be fast, and just make it a separate event, because You know, and I wonder if the same thing shouldn't happen with public forum, that you should know what you're entering so that you don't have rounds where you have one kid that's trying to debate one way and another kid who's debating another way. And depending on who the judge is, you know, that's who's going to win the round. So I guess my point there is just, is there something to protect public forum from becoming just, you know, a short policy round or a two-person fast LD round?
I have an utterly insane theory about that, actually. And I've thought about this a lot, and I've thought about why it is that LD and policy and now public forum to some degree have seemed to march in the same direction. And we all know what that direction is. We all understand it is an unsatisfying direction. It is not of value if you're trying to teach speaking skills and communicative skills, that these children get up and speak at the speed of light and barely breathe in the interim and are completely incomprehensible to the average American and then get 29 and a half speaker points. We may understand that we can have a good event despite that, but we all sort of instinctively know that that's not good. And there's another thing we know that's not good, even though we all do it and we all understand it, and that's linking together evidence in such a way that you reach completely ridiculous conclusions from completely reasonable suppositions, you know? And this in particular is a policy sin where you have arguments that if I can find the right string of articles, I can lead you from increasing healthcare subsidies in Massachusetts to nuclear war between India and Pakistan. And that's what you vote on, because nuclear war is bad. And at some level, I think that one of the reasons why the debates go that way is because the judge is not empowered to say, no, it's not. You know, it's simply not true. It's not going to happen. So one of the things that I've wondered, and this is certainly killing a sacred cow in debate, is why not have an event where the judges can basically intervene if they know for a fact you're wrong? I wouldn't say intervention in the sense that they disagree with your opinion. But if I'm an extemp judge and I'm watching an extemp round and some kid gets up there and asserts to me that Pakistan is next door to Nigeria and therefore, you know, the Muslim population in Nigeria is going to get cross-border support from Pakistan, that child is not getting very far in that round because it is simply not true. Whereas in debate, as a judge, I am obligated to wait for the other team to pick up on that and counteract that. And so the amount of completely unrealistic and ridiculous claims you get in a debate round is, I think, what encourages that kind of shoddy argumentation, which never actually persuades anybody of anything and doesn't reach a common audience, but does work if you're following the logic of a flow in an LD round.
Yeah, I mean, what happened, I mean, you're talking about the audience is going to determine that. I mean, at the point where my audience can in fact flow and track everything and know every argument that has been made and where it went and whether or not it was turned and if in fact there was a link and if any of those links were pulled out and, you know, and then it doesn't work and so forth and so on at high speed. And if you don't have somebody who can do that, then you might as well, you know, just dance on your head to try to win that judge. So in the public forum rounds, we prevent that from happening de facto. I don't know if we'll necessarily evolve into the speed and the lack of oratorical skills.
But it already has.
It already has. It's already rounds.
There just
are rounds where that happens.
Are those rounds happening because you have a judge in there? Like Beats gets stumbles into that round by mistake, and they say, "Oh, it's him," you know, and then we can do that. No. Or are they doing this all the time?
They'll do it in front of lay judges perfectly well because a lay judge thinks it sounds impressive that they get so many arguments out there, and they don't really pay too much attention to the content of those.
Or
arguments.
You have, and I'm gonna here's public forum debate is in a weird stage right now where you have people from outside activities sort of coming in, and this is no criticism or anything like that, just an observation. You have people from other activities sort of coming in and becoming public forum coaches in their own right, you know, people who had background in other events. And I'm positive that on some level that has an effect on the quote-unquote goal of public forum debate, right? Because if you're coming from a background where perhaps that doesn't matter as much to you, even if it was annoying you that the old rounds were so fast, a moderate speed is going to still seem slower to you, right? And perhaps you're now comfortable judging those kinds of rounds, or perhaps you're comfortable coaching your kids to debate in such a style.
Well, and also an average judge training at a debate tournament is going to say the same things over and over, which is cover the flow, make sure you track arguments, all of that stuff. We had kids, the very first debater we had at Newton South High School, the first child to step into a debate round at Newton South High School, spoke way too fast. And he was on a PF team. He was the first captain of our PF program. Very good, very smart kid. And he spoke way too fast. He very quickly picked up on the fact that if you speak fast and get a lot of arguments in, you tend to win ballots doing that. So the only way you're really going to prevent it is by not having kids win ballots doing that. The kids will go to where the ballots are being handed out.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that goes back to my comment about why is there a fear of just saying, you know, that this is what the event is going to be, and if you want to do it differently, don't call it this event. And say, you know, you must speak at. I know that there's bickering over what a conversational pace is.
Different for different people too.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, we're looking to have kids be understood. That's a different speed for different kids.
Or even just saying, you know, that it's not the quantity of arguments, that there's an expectation that arguments are explained, that judges should feel free to call arguments bad arguments, you know, and those sorts of things too. Otherwise, it's a very all debate events become extremely nihilistic in my mind. In that it's all whoever can get out the most,
or have a debate event where I'm surprised this wasn't a rule from the outset where you don't take notes. Where you know, because if an average person is watching a public debate, probably not taking notes. You know, when people were watching the Lincoln Douglas debates in 1858, they were probably not taking active notes, and those debates lasted a lot longer than any debate format we have now.
Well, that's yes and no, because I find sometimes as a sort of test to myself, I judged a debate tournament just at locals in LD, and for two of the rounds I flowed, and for the two of the rounds I pretended to flow, I actually caught a lot more of what was going on in the rounds I didn't flow. You'd be surprised about.
I'm not surprised about that. I think that some debaters, and I found this myself, when you switch over to a laptop from hand flowing, there's a weird adjustment where it's like you're writing down so. Oftentimes, you type so much more than you would have written, and it actually, on some level, can destroy or at least temporarily damage your ability to process the arguments. So I'm not totally surprised by that.
Yeah. So I tend to think flowing is actually not the great tool we all make it out to be sometimes. Though, granted, if you're new to the activity, it's probably a lot more helpful than if you're experienced with it.
Although the flow does become a crutch. I mean, for, you know, where you can find a way out in making your decision, in that if someone didn't explain something really well, you can look at the flow and say, oh, here's this dropped argument, and vote on that.
That's true.
Whereas if you're not flowing and they didn't make a big deal about a particular argument, you may not, quote unquote, extend it all the way through the end. So it does. I think that it would put a higher premium on debaters that are focusing more on the big picture than on the minute arguments in a debate round and winning off of a smaller argument or a less explained argument.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll give you an example. This is a great story that happened at camp, actually. And a friend of mine was judging a PF debate round. And the topic they were running at that camp was something to do with the U.S. military should not be able to hire outside contractors. So, you know, the Blackwater and organizations like that.
Somebody's banging something. I hear a lot of clicking.
Not me.
Not me.
Okay. Think click. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the topic was the U.S. should not hire these outside military contractors. And Team A gets up and asserts that the U.S. has to be able to hire outside contractors because the Constitution says the military cannot be used in domestic affairs and domestically. And therefore, if we don't have outside rent-a-cops to guard our nuclear missile silos, anybody could waltz in there and just take the bomb, and that the U.S. military would have no ability to prevent them from doing so. And so the judges are sitting there saying, boy, well, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And the other team gets up and says, well, we'll concede that's true, but soft power outweighs it. So they tried to outweigh soft power as their outweighing of nuclear war. But they also, you know, and all three judges afterwards basically gave the RFD of, that is the stupidest argument I've ever had to vote for in my life. And yet they voted for it.
But this is, this is my problem with public forum, which is I listen to the round and I don't have a way of making a decision. We've talked about this. Either, I'm looking at my flow. And so as Mike says, I'll look at the flow and I'll use that because I'm used to that. I know how to look at a flow and come up with a conclusion, good or bad. I know how to do that. Or there's the alternative, like there'll be this really good argument, but nobody did anything with it, or they didn't make it do the job. Like, I mean, the thing about I watch an LD round, if there's a really good argument, it's also going to tie back. So they're going to do more than just, I had a good argument. It's going to be, I had a good argument, and it actually connected to the framework that I'm trying to run here. There's a framework?
What's a framework?
Well, that goes to the whole thing. It's like, it's not clear to me. Well, it's sort of a twofold thing. It's not clear to me, A, that if in public forum debate, arguments are meant to interact with one another as they would in a Lincoln Douglas debate round or a policy debate round. But then on the other hand, if they are meant to interact, then it seems to me that in many ways it strays even further from the goal of a publicly accessible debate, right? Because you don't have in a presidential debate, for example, you don't have the candidates arguing with how one
this
argues
is 4 minutes.
Another, et cetera.
Now, right, this is a 4-minute thing. You can't get all that much in 4 minutes. If you give me 4 minutes, I'm lucky if I can cover two things and tie them together somehow. So I don't think it asks too much to have some overarching idea that I'm presenting, and I have these two things in aid of that idea.
Well, in that sense, I agree with you.
And in that said, the thing that a presidential debater will always do is they do impact. They always try to find a way to show why what they just said benefits the average voter that they're trying to reach. You know, they may not have a framework they're impacting to. What they're impacting to is the middle-aged housewife in Ohio or whoever it is.
I'll take some kind of impact in the PF rounds that I've seen.
And that's what the PF kids don't do, is they don't impact anything, even emotion.
The things that I've written up have been exactly that you should essentially create an artificial LD round. I mean, or an artificial LD case in your PF case. I mean, you don't call it a value and a criterion or something, but if you think along those lines, then it gives you somewhere to go and somewhere to go back to. So it's not just, you know, 422,000 blah, blah, blah in 1982. Okay. You know, it's 485,000.
Or the case where you have on one side 100,000 deaths and on the other side $900 billion.
Yeah.
And how do I compare that? I mean, on the one hand, sure, you'd say lives outweigh money, but on the other hand, more people die of poverty than of war. So $900 billion may not be the greater of two evils. So
that goes back to, I mean, I've been helping our middle school team a little bit this year. And, you know, they, Kate Schuster's program, you know, puts a high premium on flowing, and they teach the kids how to flow, and they actually, you can't judge unless you're a certified judge that knows how to flow, and you make your decision based on the flow. So the kids sort of get this mindset that they need to just put out a bunch of arguments and extend arguments and things like that. And it actually is not how we argue in real life. In real life, we do have things like standards. And in Lincoln Douglas debate, we call it the criterion. In policy debate, you call it the decision calculus or whatever. In real life, like when we're deciding to go to a movie, one of you will say, I want to go to a funny movie. And one of you will say, I want to go to a serious movie. And then we debate about, well, what makes a movie funny? And what, you know, those are the sorts of things that in real life, we have things like standards. And I think that there is such a because public forum didn't want to be LD debate, they didn't even introduce that into what argumentation would be. It's the same thing with this Parley debate that the middle school does. It didn't want to be something that already existed, so it took out this element that is just intuitive to how we argue in everyday life or how we make decisions in everyday life, and that is to provide some sort of standard to how to decide between two competing things. But when you take that out, then you're necessarily caught with whoever can stack.
At some point, rhetoric is an art or a science or something like that with very specific rules and ways of working. And you know, this goes back a long, long way. So to pretend that those things don't exist and to take them out, they're just going to fall. They're going to come back in eventually, or it'll always remain a confused sort of activity. And I think they're going to come back in. I think people will actually figure out ways of doing it, and that will be okay. And this is, you know, how you put it all together. But that's the thing that's missing. And in a reasonable, understood, and agreed to way, the putting it all together in a public forum round, so that at the end of every round, you can say, this was how it was put together, and this is how I can judge because of the putting together of that material.
The trouble is there was an awful lot of throwing out babies with the bathwater they did when they formed this event, too. There are safeguards in a policy in an LD round that prevent it from degenerating into children shouting at each other, whereas in public forum, it seems to be encouraged. The whole structure of having two kids trying to ask each other questions and answer them at the same time simply does not work. I actively describe this in our judges' meetings as the most useless 3 minutes in forensics when all four of them are shouting at each other.
Part of why the actual Crossfire television show was canceled.
Right. Yeah, when Jon Stewart killed them, right? So
that is true. But I want to switch because the one thing I think that does separate public forum from the other activities, even if all three activities were conducted in the exact same way, which in some respects I wish that was more true, is the fact that the topic is going to change every month.
Okay. Well, before we get on that, actually, I wanted to point one other thing out that more touches the last thing, which is the other thing that's really disturbing to me about public forum lately is that there is very little to no mutual respect in a lot of these rounds. I have seen far more sleaze, far more dishonest practices, far more unacceptable behavior, both overt that the judge, who is a lay judge, could pick up on, or covert, which a lay judge may or may not know is wrong, in public forum in about 3 years of judging it than I have in 15 years of LD. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's the culture of having a period where they yell at each other encourages that sort of behavior. I don't know if it's because public forum teams tend to be undercoached, and so there's a little bit of Lord of the Flies going on. But the standards of mutual respect and collegiality in that event are nowhere near as developed as they are in LD and policy.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like speech, right? Where you go into a speech round and you'll go into a humorous round and all the kids from one team will not even smile or laugh when one person is giving their speech. And then,
well, and that's true in some parts of the country, but that is not true in all of them. I mean,
right. But to me, it's the same. It's a similar mentality, too. That's why the speech rule books are 3 times larger than any debate rule books because they don't trust each other and they think everyone's cheating. And so they cheat. And so they, you know, it's I don't know what causes that.
Well, in speech, it tends to be weird, too, because it depends what part of the country you're in a lot more. Speech sure. tends to be highly regionalized. Like in Massachusetts, we don't have those problems. We just simply don't. But I know in Florida, it's like civil war down there. So it's absolutely true in some parts of the country.
I think part of it, and it is the mentality of the activity. If I have a partner, I have somebody I'm already with, you know, where I can LD. I've seen this for years. One of the reasons I've always loved LD is that teams don't mean a lot. Everybody's friendly with everybody. I mean, obviously they're competitive, and obviously it's not true all the time. But for the most part, there is a really strong LD community that cuts across team borders because it's just you and this other schmuck and the judge. You know, so you get to bond with that person. Whereas if it's you and your partner versus those other two people. All of a sudden, you already got somebody to bond with, so you're not bonding across the boundaries of the team. And I don't know if this is true at all, one way or the other. In policy, I would suspect it's probably true, though, for the same reasons to some extent, that you don't have the conviviality among teams that you do in LD.
Well, I think that's... One thing I think that's interesting is that policy, and this is a whole separate discussion, but you know, policy has obviously shrunk over the years, right? So policy, I think, is a close-knit community because it's a smaller community in some sense, certainly regionally and certainly nationally as well. Whereas public forum debate, I think another thing that sort of adds to that kind of weird atmosphere in PF is that we've already discussed this, it's sort of a still a lot of debaters in PF who are like very come and go, right? They're not, it's not the activity that they identify themselves the most with, or it's certainly not something they do on as regular a basis as other partners. And that's not true of all PF debaters. I have PF debaters who debate more than some of our LDers and policy kids. But I think that there's a lot of that in PF. At this point, there's basically none of that policy once you get to varsity. I mean, you're basically, those are people who are, that is what they're doing, and you know, they're very committed to it. And in LD, you have a very, very committed community of people who do it, right? And I think that adds to
it. And it ties into the inexperience of some of these coaches. We've had a number of times to, for instance, the concept of flowing other people's rounds and handing flows to your kids and disclosure and debate can sometimes be difficult to teach to a new coach. It's not an intuitive concept that why it's actually better to hand around flows. It, you know, for all of the good reasons why disclosure can be good and why openness and debate is good, it's counterintuitive to new people to say that I should hand my flows to a kid on my team after I judged another team.
I want to go back, though.
Poorly to that.
You know? I want to go back to what Chris said, though, which is I have some people who will do a little bit of PF and immediately withdraw because they don't like the nastiness. So I think that's absolutely, I mean, my kids are seeing this and not liking the activity because there isn't a level of, they're not civilized for whatever reason. I mean, the reason notwithstanding.
And the sad thing is it works. I mean, I bend over backwards to get my kids not to be aggressive and not to be mean and try to be collegial. And they'll get back ballots saying, well, you weren't aggressive enough in Crossfire, so I voted for the other team. And no, I'm just like, good God, I want to reach into that and strangle that judge, just like for defeating everything I'm trying to teach.
Yeah, I don't know how we, I mean, that has to be combated from whoever owns public forum.
What LD and policy have too are coaches that are all friends as well. I mean, we have, I mean, when I take my team to Yale or I don't know 50 coaches over there and we have that sort of mutual respect. We all go to dinner with each other and those sorts of things. And also we have debate camps too, where and public forum is starting to have camps, so it might change a little bit. But there's a, you know, I even if kids don't all go to the same camp, there's a shared experience where a lot, at least on the national circuit, and I'll say that. That's
true
that
I've found,
at least in California, I've found the kids that are more circuit, national circuit type kids to be much more friendly than the kids that only do local debate. And I mean, it's the reason why we don't participate in any league stuff, because I feel like my kids are shunned by the local league. So
I found the opposite to be true, actually. We have a lot more problems when we go outside our region than when we're in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't. Maybe
I think that's a whole separate. I mean, that's worthy of a whole separate discussion.
Yeah. Though the thing I wonder is part of that problem though not inherent to the event itself, because there is a fairly collegial and cooperative Extemp community, and Extemp is a very small event when you talk about coaching. There are a lot of Extempers out there, but there aren't that many Extemp coaches per se. And so when you go to NFLs, you see a lot of these people, and it may be the only time all year I see any of the other Extemp coaches from various parts of the country, but I get along great with them. They're good friends. We help each other out in the prep room. We help haul each other's tubs and stuff. And so even though we're not constantly in contact, there is a much greater sense of mutual cooperation and collegiality than I'm seeing in PF. So I'm not entirely sure it's familiarity that's doing it.
I think I've also noticed in PF, and all of this is just, you know, just my observation and not based on anything scientific, obviously. But there seems to be a lot more jockeying for who is the PF great team. And there isn't, you know, that one's, you know, even the coaches are hyper competitive, and the,
I agree with
like,
that.
Like they're hyper competitive to, I mean, it's a ridiculous amount, and mm-hmm. and there seems to be no sort of sense of larger community with the coaches. There, it seems like because it's a new activity, and because a lot of people are still looking to quote unquote make a name in the activity. Yeah.
About proving yourself.
Yeah, proving yourself. And also, there also has to be, I mean, there might be, like, I know that a lot of LDers even feel when they're around policy debaters, they feel a little bit, you know, they're not worthy of being around policy debaters. Or
yeah, inferiority complex.
Yeah, there's an inferiority complex. I wonder if that doesn't exist in PF, too.
Because I think it definitely exists.
Yes. They see in you know, before a big round in policy debate, you're going to see six coaches, you know, prepping their teams, and in an LD round you're going to see a bunch of coaches prepping before a big round, and in PF,
this is a huge joke in our tournament that some of the PF round preps seem to be longer than the actual PF round.
Don't get into the timing of public forum. The shortest activity, it takes the longest time.
It's a sore spot
with
Mr. Menick, yes.
But it's true. I think it all comes back to what Beats is talking about, and this is with all, and I say this with all respect to my colleagues who focus on PF. But I think it's interesting because, you know, people talk about LD culture wars and things like that. But I sense a tremendous amount of that in PF2, and in a way that is in some ways even more hostile than in LD. And I'm going to give an example of this without naming names or anything like that. But what's one thing I find very interesting is this. You know, in LD, you have debaters who debate very different kinds of styles, sure. And people acknowledge that. But it doesn't – at least at this point, I don't hear people question the overall – total legitimacy of that team because they debate in a different style in the way that I do in PF, where people say, well, you know, Team X is unbelievably successful. Look at all the terms they've been in. Well, that's because Team X, you know, isn't really debating and they're winning over all these other things. We hear at Team Y, we're doing real debate, blah, blah, blah. To me, that's just unhealthy for the activity. That's a problem that creeps up in LD, but I hear it in an even louder volume in some PF circles.
Though I wonder if that doesn't reflect a sort of base dissatisfaction with the event and how it's done, though.
Maybe.
I wonder if they're being legitimate. They're saying, I've seen those kids debate and they win through sleaze. And I can say, I've seen lots of kids do very well through sleaze. So I wonder if that's not so much ego talking as it is, you know, just saying this is not really what I want this game to be.
Yeah, and some of that sleaze might work in public forum debate a little bit more, just like I think it does, you know, around here in LD debate, because it's a paradox. On one hand, you want expert judges because expert judges will say you can't do that, right? You can't be sleazy and you can't be jerks. But then when you have expert judges, you're going to have a more sophisticated style of debate. So when you have lay judges, the lay judges are going to be less likely, I think, because they're a little more insecure in how they feel about or in their experience, they're not as likely to say stop that or go talk to a coach about something or they're less likely to just assert themselves, I would think, in rounds. So it's sort of a paradox, I guess.
One of the things we can do, I mean, we will at least, I mean, Chris, you do this, I do this, John, you do it. We do give instructions to the judges before the, and we can say, look, you're going to be given the points, blah, blah, blah. You are free to predicate those points on niceness. And if these people are sons of bitches, punish them. We can say that. I mean, we
I
can run
tournaments,
and
I say that
I don't
every
say
NFL
that.
Tournament, and I wonder if that's why we have fewer problems.
I don't say that, and I can say that, and I will say that because I think it's important. I don't want sons of bitches to win because they were sons of bitches, where the nice guy lost because he was trying to be a nice guy. That's not right. I mean, it should be about the debate, and it should be about being firm and able to get your voice in, but without being a son of a bitch about it. And I think it's up to us. And maybe that's one of the reasons it does work for you, because you specifically say it. And I'll start saying it, too. I got nothing to lose. I mean, it's certainly not going to hurt anybody to say this.
I spend most of my judge trainings basically encouraging the judges as much as possible to use their judgment. And I think what Beats has said is absolutely true, that there is this period when a judge is terrified and very insecure that they're going to do the wrong thing, and that usually leads them to do the wrong thing. A friend of mine was talking about when he first started judging LD, he felt that there was this crystalline, perfect, and beautiful logic to every LD case, and that sometimes he didn't understand that logic, and he wasn't able to grasp it because he was not up to it himself, and he was not worthy of understanding it. And then a year or two later, he realized, no, when I don't understand it, that means that kid's a bad debater. And he became a much better judge when he had that realization.
Yeah. Sure.
So can we talk about the topic controversy before we run out of time?
No, we already did run out of time. I'm typing out here, no SOBs. I'm putting this in my notes. Okay. Done. Okay, I'm saving that. Okay. We're almost up to an hour. This gives us another, the whole subject of topics, I think, first of all, how the topics affect the activity, and then what's going on with the topics. Perfectly enough for another show.
So, we could talk about all the debate mm-hmm. topics too. I mean, I was at the this weekend at the Novice Nationals tournament at Woodward. Even the policy people were talking about how corrupt the LD or the policy topic selection process is. So there's discontent in every style. Right.
Next week it's corruption and debate.
Corruption topic thing is very, very bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I don't know much about it. Okay, well, why don't we do that?
Corruption and debate, we could spend a whole month on that one.
We could just rename the podcast, Corruption and Debate, starring
the It would be like the Tab Room.
All right, on that note.
On that note, okay, guys, see you next week.
See you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye, guys.